I'm going to do. I'm going to do my usual sitting down, aching bones and all that. I'm going to do something very unusual this morning, and a bit shocking, really. But we'll see how we go. I'm going to turn you to Romans chapter 12, and it's going to come up on the screen. It's going to come up on the different version to what I've got. Never mind. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And everybody said, whoopee! This chapter is amazing. When we've read it through, I'm going to skip through and bring out some points. And I'm trusting that every single person here will hear God's voice. So when was the last time that you read Romans chapter 12? Not for some time. Today, you're going to read it. Okay? So here we go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Okay, carry on. And be not fashioned according to this world, but, this is a very old translation. Okay, right. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may approve what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think, God has dealt each man. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office or work, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorts to his exhorting, and he that gives, let him do it with liberality, he that rules with diligence, and he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned to one another, in honor preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will recompense, says the Lord. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink, for in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. But I believe that in this chapter, God can speak to everyone. And it's good sometimes for us to read a good stretch of scripture. And sometimes it's good to read a whole book right the way through. That's going some. And it's always good to read a whole chapter. You get the whole sense of things. Anyway, we've done it. We went through that chapter. We'll see what we can bring out of it. First two verses, let's tackle them first. First two verses, it read that we should offer our bodies to God. Our bodies are useful things. Our bodies are our toolbox. That's my spanners. My feet are my transport. My body is what contains my spirit and soul. So body is a very good thing. Come in all shapes and sizes, our bodies. And Bible says that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. We should present our bodies as a living sacrifice for God. What that really means is we should give God ourselves as a present, a gift to God. And he goes on to say in Romans 12 that when we do that, it's a spiritual thing and it pleases God. When we gift ourselves to God, the Bible says that we should conform or be molded to the shape of this world. What sort of shape is this world in? It's a hard shape, isn't it? Cheating shape, lying, thieving, all the things that God doesn't like. And he says that when we present our bodies as a gift to him, our sacrifice to God, that we should be different, molded differently. When I came to Birmingham at the age of 17, I came from the deep south in Kent. I came up to this city and I came to work at a brilliant factory. I'd seen it advertised. I made application, got a job at this modern factory, the Bakelite, the plastics firm in Tyseley. And one of the three sections in the factory was the moulding material section. And we made powders and granules for moulders to mould. Okay? And we made thermosetting plastic. And it made clock cases, radio cases, you know, the old Bakelite radio cases, and things like that. All the hard plastics. Also, in the plastics industry, they made the thermoplastic, which was remoldable. And you get today, you can recycle all those plastics and end up making plastic planking for decking in people's gardens. Okay, so there we go. Remoldable. There's no plastic in the Bible, but the Bible does talk about clay. And it does talk about Jeremiah going down to his pal in the potter's house. And he's seeing his potter pal making a pot, and it goes wrong. And then he sees his pal reform it, because it's all plasticky and reformable. No plastic in the Bible. We're not made of plastic, but maybe we're made of clay. And sometimes we go wrong. But you know, we can go the wrong shape in God. But God, I believe, is saying this morning, when you present your bodies to him, your living sacrifice, and it's gone wrong, you can be remolded by God. Let yourself be remade, remolded by God. There's an awesome thing about your bodies, not just the shape. The awesome thing is, not only can you present it as a gift to God, the awesome thing about your body is whispering quietly It is the home of the Holy Spirit. That's shocking, isn't it? Your bodies are the homes where the Holy Spirit dwells. Then we go on to verses 3 and 8. In my Bible, it sets it out so much more simple. And it says that we should use our bodies to get on with God's calling. God's got a calling for every single person here this morning. God's got a calling. And he set out the callings. He said, if you're good at prophesying, prophesy and do it properly. He says, if you're good at serving, serve. And he goes on to say, if you're good at teaching, teach. And, we've got teachers out in the kids this morning. And we've got teachers in house groups in the week. So maybe God's calling you to do a house group. If it's so, and if you are up to it, and you can teach, and teach a house group, see your pastor, Pastor Terry, and see if it's feasible to start a house group. And then he goes on, and he says, not only prophesying and serving and teaching, he says that we should use our bodies as a gift for God to be encouragers. There was a woman that we knew, she had arthritis in the whole body. And you know, sometimes you can get your fingers and do this and play around with your hands. Not very nice, is it? She permanently had hands like that because of arthritis. So she presents her body to the Lord, this poor racked body with arthritis. What can she do? She became an encourager. She, with her crippled hand, wrote letters to missionaries, to evangelists, to pastors all over the world. She was amazing. We saw her. We knew her. She was an amazing woman. She spent a fortune on stamps and paper, and she poured out God's love and encouragement, even though she was so crippled. And here we are. We're fit and, well, pretty fit and well. And is God calling you to be an encourager? Hallelujah. To be in his kingdom, doing something, doing something. And it goes on. Paul writes in Romans 12, he says, give your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Prophesy, serve, teach, encourage. And he says, if you've got a pocket full of money, keep a hole in your pocket, okay? If you've got a pocket full of money, you've got too much money in your pocket, and you can help other people, do it. That's something, isn't it? And then he goes on to say, if you're good at leading, do the job properly. Lead. We have a body. And the Bible says we should gift our body to the Lord, and we should use it to do God's will. Do we? Or do we do our own will? Do we do God's will with our own bodies? But he's not finished with this. In this chapter, he goes on in verse 9. He says, love and hate. Love and hate. Love good, he said, and hate the evil. Amen. And he goes on, it says, let our love be sincere. We are very good at being a little bit false with people. And we're very loving to their face. And then behind their backs, we're not so good. And here, the Bible says, let our love be sincere. The same behind the back as to the face. Verse 11, I'm going to save for last. I'm going to come to verse 14 and to the end. And it's a bit tough, this one. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I'll read that again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. What planet is this guy on? What planet is this guy on? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I'll tell you what planet he's on. Planet heaven. Because if we do that, we not only bless our enemies, but we bless ourselves. Yes, our enemies harm us. Yes, it hurts. Yes, at times it's unforgivable what they do. But God says, do not take revenge. Leave it to God. And many of us here have done that, and we've seen what God has done to our enemies. We haven't had to do anything. Let God do it. Verse 20 says, overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good and leave the rest with God. The enemy, if we leave our enemies to God, our enemies might get saved. Corrie Ten Boom, I don't know whether you remember her. I've actually seen her. She was in one of the World War II camps. And she was, had a terrible time in this camp. Eventually, she managed to get free. She became a wonderful speaker. And she went around many places speaking about God's grace and forgiveness in the camps. One day, when she was preaching, suddenly, she noticed that in the congregation was a certain guy. And it was one of the camp guards that she'd been under, a cruel guy. Surprising he wasn't executed and caught, but God caught him. Unknown to her, he'd come to the Saviour, this enemy. And after the meeting, she met him, and she says that it was very, very difficult for her to call him brother and shake his hand. But she knew that God had forgiven her enemy. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that she'd obeyed that scripture, and she'd prayed for her enemy, and one of her enemy had actually got saved. We were driving, a friend and I, we were driving through a certain district in Birmingham, and he was looking at the population there. This isn't me, this was him. And he said, if I had a gun, I would shoot them all. And I felt so sick. I said to him, that's not right. I said, the best thing you can do is to pray for them, that they get saved, born again, a child of God. That's what we should do with our enemies. So if you're ever tempted, if you're ever tempted to curse your enemies, curse those that, fight against you, pray for them. You never know. They might get saved. You might have a Corrie Ten Boom surprise. Okay, overcome evil with good and leave the rest with God. Your enemy might get saved. What a chapter. It's a big chapter, isn't it? And I've kept you quite a bit of time. But what a chapter. Let's check it through once more. Chapter says that we should present ourselves to God. Give our bodies as a spiritual gift. Have we done that? I'm hoping the answer is yes. Our bodies, a spiritual gift to God. Is our love sincere? Are we saying the right thing to the person's face and behind their back just the same? Do we bless our enemies? Do we pray that they might be saved? When we do this, this is us molded in the right shape for God? Are we the right shape for God? Is my question. Are we the right shape for God? I've saved verse 11 to last. And verse 11 up there didn't sound very good. Just hang about a bit, you'll see something. Verse 11 in my version, never be lacking in zeal. Now that's good, isn't it? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. You didn't hear that, did you? Did you hear it? Put your hand up if you heard it. Oh, one or two did. Okay, I'll read it again. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's a challenge, isn't it? One of the versions that I've used, it says, be aglow with the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, I'll do something for you guys just to, be aglow. Is that aglow? Is that aglow? Or what about that? Being aglow in the Spirit? That's a torch, but we can be aglow in the Spirit. It's quite nice, isn't it? No, being aglow. And I'll tell you something. When you're in Christ and you presented your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, and you're active, you're prophesying and doing all these other things that God is talking about, and you're useful in his kingdom, and you've got a lot of zeal for him, and you haven't let that zeal die down, and you're aglow, you let the Holy Spirit into your bodies. Hey, you're something, aren't you? You're a real child of God. You're molded according to God's pattern. Praise God. I want to finish with a little personal testimony story. I was a bachelor, and I was in my bachelor flat. You're a bachelor, aren't you? And I had three questions I was praying about. I'd been praying for about 2 weeks, and one question was I going to get married or not? Second question was, I've got an eczema on my arm, and I hadn't been to the doctor with it, but I wanted healing. And the third thing was, I wanted to keep my spiritual fervor. As I was there, I'd cooked my meal, and I was eating my meal, and I was telling God again about these three things. God started to speak to me in a very real way. He spoke to me about a book that I hadn't read. I was a new Christian. I'd only been about 2 or 3 years old in the Lord. And it was a book, Isaiah, which I hadn't read. And God said to me, when I mentioned about, am I going to get married? He said, Isaiah 62. And I read this chapter, and I came across the words, as a young man marries a maiden. I thought, wow, I didn't know that was there. And I knew that I was going to get married. So I said, well, praise the Lord. So then I said, what about this eczema on my arm? And God said to me, Isaiah 53. And I read Isaiah 53, and I saw, by his stripes, I'm healed. And I thought, that's amazing. And then I said to him a last question. And this is a question that I want every one of you to ask yourself. Lord, will I stay on fire for you the rest of my life? I really wanted to be aglow in God. I wanted my body, my life, my everything to be useful for God. There's a challenge. Romans chapter 12 is a challenge. And God spoke to me in Isaiah, and I can't remember the scripture. But I do know that after all these years, I'm still on fire for God. What about you? Let's pray. It could be that you feel that it's time to rededicate your life to the Lord. It may be you feel that you've been molded by the world and you're not the right shape. But you know that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit. But it's not really a good home for the Holy Spirit. You're not really, some of you, doing the work that God has called you for in the church. Sometimes you even curse your enemies when you should be blessing them, praying for them. And your love and your zeal has died down. Now is the time to pray like I prayed. And I said, oh Lord, I want to be on fire. I want to be hot for you. Neither hot or cold. In Revelations, it talks about being hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. We want to be hot. And I'm sure that God wants you to be hot for him. Could be that you feel you want to decide this morning. You want to come down the front. You ought to be prayed for. It's time to renew your zeal for the Lord. As they're playing this song, maybe you feel you want to come to the front. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Reshape yourself. And then Pastor Terry will come and pray for you.